From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called The Division of the Land, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Look and Live. The text is Numbers chapter 21, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is a glorious gospel type. Jesus, numbered with the transgressors, hangs before us on the cross. A look to Him will heal us of the serpent bite of sin, will heal us at once. When He looketh upon it, He shall live. Let the listener who is mourning his sinfulness note the words, Every one that looketh upon it shall live. Every looker will find this true. I have found it so. I looked to Jesus and lived at once. I know I did. Sinner, if you look to Jesus, you will live too. True, you are swelling with the venom, and you see no hope. True, also, there is no hope but this one. But this is no doubtful cure. Every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The brazen serpent was not lifted up as a curiosity to be gazed upon by the healthy, but its special purpose was for those who were bitten. Jesus died as a real Savior for real sinners. Whether the bite has made you a drunkard, or a thief, or an unchaste, or a profane person, a look at the great Savior will heal you of these diseases and make you live in holiness and communion with God. Look and live.
Lifeline across the dark wave, there is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline to danger-fraught men, sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Joshua chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, and the opening verses of chapter 14, the Lord gave Joshua instructions about the allotment of the land to the various tribes. As we've seen, the Lord's provision for His church is perfect. Each believer is ideally placed to carry out God's will for his life. Then God's provision is plentiful. There is more than enough for each believer's need, whether it be on a personal level or for power and service. In addition, the Lord's provision is particular. He has specific gifts at a specific place for each of His children. Furthermore, the Lord's purpose in His provision is sovereign and wise. The assurance of that gives God's servants great confidence as they labor for Him. It will also provide a spirit of contentment with where the Lord has placed His servant, as well as with the divine allotment for temporal needs. This assurance of the Lord's sovereign provision will produce a challenge to conquer territory that is currently in enemy hands. The inclusion of the tribe of Levi emphasizes the consecration which the Lord's provision elicits in His people. Finally, we'll see that the Lord has promised His presence and His power to His people. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will possess the fullness that is ours in Christ. Now to conclude this message, the division of the land, here is Dr. Cairns.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, and he was speaking, I know particularly of situations of great personal want and need, or situations of relative ease when people would give gifts to the work of the ministry. said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When you know you are where the Lord has placed you, that you are doing what the Lord has led to your hand, then you have confidence to do it, but you have contentment in doing it. It also produces a challenge. You see, contentment is not to breed laziness. Contentment is contentment with our God. It's contentment with His provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to sit back and say, well, now thank God I've arrived, there's nothing left to do. No, with the contentment, the Lord's purpose in giving us His provision is to produce a challenge. Each tribe in Israel had to go into the land that God gave them and dispossess the enemy that was then in occupation. Each tribe had a particular and peculiar opportunity to prove God and to serve God. They had to get their eyes off every other tribe and get their eyes on their own particular service and concentrate on the job in hand. That's the challenge to every church and every Christian. I think we tend to be a little like Peter in John 21, verse 20 and 22. Peter, having had the Lord examine him and talk to him about his own future service, he said, looking at John, Lord, what shall this man do? And in verse 22, Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What shall this man do? And the Master says, what business is that of yours? Your business is in these words, follow thou me. That's your business. There is a challenge here to go on with God. Now let me bring this down to a very, very simple level. God has been very gracious to us. The Lord has daily loaded us with benefits. He has saved us. He has kept us. He has granted us the manifestation of His Spirit. He has brought us into the fellowship of His people. He has granted us the spiritual means to serve Him effectively. Let me ask you what you're doing with all that. What are you doing with it? I'm going to make the bold statement, I would to God that I were wrong. There are Christians who sit here with a holy countenance, apparently, and their heart is backslidden and cold. There was a time when you served your God with zeal, but that time has gone. There was a time when day by day you'd be in the secret place laboring in prayer. But the days of intense prayer are now all history. There was a time when yours was the voice of witness. When wherever you went, men and women would hear of Jesus Christ from your lips. You had no greater delight than to seek and win the lost for the Savior. But today, you sit back, you think you're at ease in Zion. In reality, you're backslidden. There is a challenge there to follow Christ, to go through with God our vows to pay, our all upon the altar lay, to dispossess Satan and his hosts, to take what is rightly ours in Jesus Christ. There is new ground for you to take in your life. There's new territory for us to take over and conquer in Jesus' name in our own experience. There is new territory to take in this area and in this state and nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. God has placed us here with a challenge. Then the fourth thing that this God's purpose in this provision produces is consecration. Notice the special provision for the tribe of Levi. Levi had no particular allotment of territory. Levi, as a tribe, was scattered throughout all the other tribes. The reason was clear. The Lord desired His truth to be upheld in all the land. The Lord wanted every Israelite to live in the full enjoyment of His covenant. The presence of the Levites was to say to all Israel, whatever their earthly situation, get your eyes on the Lord, trust Him, and serve Him with all faithfulness. That's still the message of God to His people today. The Scripture asks the question, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Good question, isn't it? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who then among God's people is willing to come to terms with God's rightful challenge to his life? And his rightful claim on his life. Confess the backsliding and the sin and the failure of the past. And honestly before God, say, Lord, I am willing to consecrate my service. I may not be brilliant, but all I am and have belongs to Christ. I may not have long to live, but every day God gives me belongs to Christ. I consecrate my service this day to the Lord. The Lord's provision, the purpose of that provision, and its fourfold fruit. And finally, let me say a word about the Lord's promise. The Lord not only gives us provision with words saying, now, there it is, go and take it. But he says in the first verse we read today, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. I will drive them out. The Lord distributes his gifts with the aim of making you and me successful in our lives and service. I want us to grasp this. This is so simple. It used to be preached, you know, with fair regularity, the message of Christian victory. God promises victory to His people. Victory over the flesh, victory over the world, victory over the devil. The Lord promises a sanctification that is of spirit, soul, and body. That's His promise. You may be here this morning as a young Christian and you're struggling with some great habit from the past. Some part of your heart or life where the old enemy is still entrenched. Listen, there's victory for you. The Lord has not given us the spirit of bondage. He has made us the free men of heaven. The Holy Spirit of God is God's guarantee to His people that they can live in holiness unto the Lord. They can live triumphant over the world. As I've said many times, we are to be victors, not victims. That's God's promise to His people. But He goes further than that. This is again something that used to be preached constantly in fundamental pulpits, but is now being let go because of the charismatic delusion. And that is, the Lord promises not only grace for us to live in personal victory, but He promises us the power to serve Him in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. If there is one truth that we need to recapture in our fundamental and reformed churches today, it is the doctrine of the fullness of God, the Holy Ghost. We have replaced the Holy Ghost with man's committees. We have replaced the old prayer meetings where with sweat and tears and agony and fasting and crying, God's people would pray for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We have replaced that with some dumb seminar movement. It doesn't work. It's an invention of man to paper over our lack of spiritual power. God promises power to serve Him and power to bear fruit in whatever part of His Canaan we are called to serve. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God that worketh in you. God is working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's telling us every Christian is fit for life and every Christian is fit for service. Christian, do not become a victim of the confidence trick of the devil, that you've got to limp through this world just from crisis to crisis, from defeat to defeat, and not expect very much. The Lord has fitted His people to live, as Jesus said, more abundantly. This is why He came, that we might have life, that we might have life more abundantly. You remember Ezekiel's vision of the waters to the ankles, the waters to the knees, the waters to the loins, and the waters to swim in. God has increasing depths for His people. I tell you, He wants us to live the Christian life, not just exist it, not just stumble through this world, not knowing where we're going or how we're going to get there. He wants us to live it. To live it in the fruitfulness of the Spirit. To live it in the power of the Spirit. To live it in the joy of a living fellowship with the living Christ. That's what God wants for us. And He has fitted us for that. He's fitted us for service. I want you to go out of this place understanding this today. You don't have to be a scholar to be a servant. You don't have to be a preacher to be a servant. You don't have to be elected deacon or elder to be a servant. Every Christian is fitted to be God's servant where God has placed him. If He's put you in the shop floor, serve Him there. If He put you in the pulpit, serve Him there. But wherever you are, God has fitted you to live and serve Him. As God's people, we have our rich inheritance. We can live. It is our right to live in the enjoyment of the fullness of Christ. Remember the text we looked at on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting? I quoted again Ephesians 3:19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. All that God has in Christ is for God's blood-bought people. We each have a particular place to serve, and to serve with honor. Let us then learn from this distribution of the land to the tribes to take God's provision for us, to be glad that He has saved us. Let me tell you as I close a prayer that of thanksgiving I very often pray. I get before the Lord I thank God that He has given me any place in the service of Christ the King. I don't have the place of a Peter or a Paul, of a Luther or a Calvin or a Knox, of a Paisley or a Jones or a Connolly. I don't have the place of many another. But I have the place that the King gave me. I have a place to serve Christ. Many, many a time I get before God just to thank God for some place of service. You have also a place to serve with honor. Take that provision. Live in the power and the grace that God provides. And do it without groaning that you don't have the place or the gifts of someone else. Take what God has given you. And whatsoever your hand finds to do for Him, do it with all your might.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.